Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. First, we want to talk about, obviously, there's a lot going on in real estate and the market. I definitely am going to get to that today. We're going to talk about specifics of what's going on in our market. But let's talk right now a little bit about what's going on with mortgage rates and how they're affecting the market. And as everybody, you know, you keep hearing, you know, what mortgage rates are going up, mortgage rates are doing this or that. And then in reality, mortgage rates actually are almost back down to exactly where they were in the lowest levels we've ever had. So mortgage rates are extremely good. And the reason is that in the mortgage rates come out of the mortgage-backed security bond market, that market has been right near the top of the market just where it was. And as that goes up, mortgage rates go down. Additionally, the 10-year treasury has gone down, and as the 10-year treasury goes down, mortgage rates go down. They follow that. Not exactly, of course, but that's what's going on. And why is all this happening? It's a lot of it is the economic news. Some of it, and probably the majority of it, is what the Feds are doing. The Feds are buying mortgage-backed securities, and they're buying them at a very, very large rate. It slowed down a little bit, but it slowed down not because they intentionally slowed down. It's because mortgage refinances and purchases have slowed down a little bit. Most really purchases have really slowed down because there just isn't much inventory. That's starting to change, and we're going to talk about that a little later today. But you know, it is a issue with inventory that has slowed some of the market. With that said, last week they bought $25 billion in mortgage-backed securities. So they're still buying at $100 billion rate per month of mortgage-backed securities. So it's still a huge, huge volume, and because of that volume, that's keeping the rates down. Even when we get a little bit of a run, rates go up an eighth or quarter, something like that, it's just going right back down because they're just buying so much. There's a lot of fear of inflation, and they're starting to get some talk of what they call the tapering. That means the Federal Reserve will start to slow down or stop their buying of mortgage-backed securities. That is the time. When they do that, we're going to see mortgage rates go up. That would be our estimation, and that, you know, that's going to depend on when they do that. They've pretty much been indicating they're not planning on doing that anytime soon. But sometimes they change their mind and they do things they tell us they weren't going to do. So, but right now it seems like we're pretty safe on rates. Still a great time to refinance. It's still a great time to buy a home. If you want to talk about that, you want to look at it, see how it sits in your situation, what makes the most sense. You know, if you want looking at refinancing or purchasing, what is available to you, you need a pre-approval letter. We want to talk about that. Feel free to go online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You can get all my contact information there. Again, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You can fill out our contact information on that page, or you can get my phone numbers and email address and just contact me, and we'll talk about your situation. And really, that's what I like to do. I like to go through exactly your situation. We need to look at it and figure out what it is you're trying to accomplish, and then how we can go about doing that. So we have people who want to refinance and cash out to pay off debt, or to do home improvements, or, you know, to invest in the market. Just there's a huge, go on vacation. There's just a ton of reasons people will refinance and cash out. If you want to talk about that, we can certainly do that. Sometimes people just want to refinance and lower their interest rate and save money, maybe extend the term a little bit to get a monthly payment down, because that's what's important to them. Some people want to shorten the term with the rates as low as they are. Their payment goes up some, but they want to shorten that term, pay the home off quicker, pay it down quicker. It just really depends on what you're trying to accomplish. And there's a variety of things that could be. I'm not going to talk about them all, but all those reasons, you know, we just need to talk through them and see what's the best way to make that happen for you. So, you know, feel free to just go online, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You can get all my contact information. You can contact me from that webpage, from my website, or you can just get my contact information. You can call or email or text or however you want to get a hold of me. And we'll talk through your exact situation. But right now I want to talk kind of in general what's going on in the market. And this is the existing home sales, which came out, they're up 1.4% in June. So for June, they're up 1.4% and they're up 23% year over year. Now, I said they were down earlier, but they are down compared to what we've seen in the past. But they are up from last year. Last year, we were coming out of the pandemic. So it's a little bit of a misnomer when you look at this. You think, oh, okay, well, that's why with the pandemic, we were a little slower. It's just starting to really take off in June of last year. It hadn't quite got there yet. We were still trying to, you know, get through the initial shock of everybody staying home. Now, at this point, a year ago in June, it was just starting to go. And from June of last year to June of 2021, we're up 1.4% and we're up 23% year over year. Of course we are, because last year was a very, very slow year in the start of the year for home purchases. It basically shut down for a month. It didn't completely, but it basically shut down for a month. There were 1.25 million homes for sale, which is up 3.3%. So that's in June, that's up 3.3% from May after a 7% increase in the previous report. So May was up 7% over the April report. So we're coming out of the pandemic. So things are starting to look better, but our inventory is so low. That's really what is hurting us now. Like I said, our inventory is still down. It's down actually 19% year over year. And that's down 19% from a year ago when we were in the pandemic and there were very little homes on the market. People were pulling them off. They weren't even showing them, things like that. It's improved since then, but we're still down in that inventory 19%. The median home price was reported at a record high of $1,300, which is 23.4% year over year. It's one of those things that you have to worry about, because you hear the media talk about the homes have gone up in price, they're no longer affordable. Well, that's not necessarily true, because this is the median price. And this is an appreciation. It's just the median price, and it's so the highs, it's higher because of the mix of the sales. So what's happened is homes that sell below the 250K mark were down 15%, while sales of $1 million homes and up were up 150%. So the real appreciation, we're saying that the year over year. Was up 23.4%, but the real appreciation is actually around 14%. And that's still high. But if you look at what rates are and you look at what the payment is, and you hear the media running around saying, hey, you know, it's unaffordable to buy homes, the housing market's in trouble, it's ridiculous because of the interest rates. The payment on a 14% increase in a home price, the payment goes up very, very little. It does require a little bit more down payment, but the actual payment, because of the rates, is actually, we're at very, very, very affordable times, much lower than we were in any other time other than when we had the housing crisis back in 2008, and through that period of time when the housing market, we had a lot of foreclosures on the market, things like that, which lowered the prices. Today, our prices are going up, which is a much better time to buy a home than when prices are going down. You'd rather buy in a market that looks like it's going to appreciate, and looks like for some time we expect appreciation to slow down some. But, you know, it certainly is something that appreciation will slow down But it's still we're in very good shape, and it's a great time to buy a home. If you own a home, your home is going up in value. Probably not as much as we all think, because we hear these 23.4% year over year, and we think our houses went up 23.4%, and that probably isn't what happened. And you know, after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the current market, what's going on in the housing market, and then we're going to get into some of the specifics in the Indianapolis market.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it very much. We've talked a little bit about the market and the increase in the sales, the existing home sales, and you know, we've talked about those things, but you know, as we've talked, a lot of that is comparing to the pandemic time, so it's not 100%, you know, something we really should hang our hats on at this point in time. I want to talk a little bit more about this, but let's talk about first-time home buyers. And they've actually accounted for at least 31% of the sales over the last 5 months. So first-time home buyers are 31% of the sales over the last 5 months. While affordability is certainly, you know, a bit tougher with the higher home prices, rates are still so attractive, and first-time home buyers are clearly hanging in there. They're coming out in droves. They're buying houses. Again, they were 31% of the market. Cash buyers, this is interesting to me, cash buyers remain stable at 23%, but is up big from 16% last year. So 23% of the homes that are sold with cash. So when you see, hear a lot of the numbers and they're talking about mortgages and mortgage, you know, like the mortgages on existing homes, things like that are up, but still we've even seen, you know, 23% of the sales have no mortgage, they're paying cash. And investors purchased 14% of the homes. That's down from about 17% in the previous month. Part of that is because it's become more difficult for an investor to buy a home under Freddie and Fannie guidelines, the conventional guidelines. But it's kind of opened up quite a bit on the non-conventional side and made it, there's some pretty attractive programs for investors in that market. So it is something, if you're thinking about investing in property, something we could certainly talk about, because there are some very attractive programs available to look at outside of the Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, the conventional lending. And if you want to do that, or if you have any questions on mortgages, you want to look at refinancing a home or purchasing a home, you know, just feel free to give me a go on my website, probably the easiest way. Then you can call me or email me from there. My website's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Now, the other thing, we talked a little bit about the mortgage rates. The other thing that will affect rates and affect our housing market is the initial jobless claims, which measure the individual filing for unemployment benefits for the very first time. It increased. This was a shock. It increased from 51,000 to 419,000. That's initial jobless claims for the last week. And the continuous claims, or those that, you know, continue to receive benefits, so you file and then they keep going, they did decrease by 29,000 to 3.2 million, which is a post-pandemic low. So 3.2 million is the continuous claims, but we went up by 419,000 on the first-time claims. Now, there's another piece to the claims that we don't normally have, and that's the pandemic unemployment assistance claims. And this one is, which, you know, gives the individuals, whoever's, you know, going after those benefits, they wouldn't normally qualify for unemployment benefits, but because of the pandemic emergency claims, you know, they allowed that, they qualify. And these actually extend their benefits after the regular benefits expire. And this fell by 1.1 million, which is great, but most of those people just fell off the rolls. They used up their time, but it is a significant improvement. What this means is there's 12.6 million individuals are still receiving benefits. So 12.6 million people are still receiving benefits throughout all of the programs. And now that is down 1.3% or 1.3 million from last year, but it's still 12.6 million people. We have seen a regular, roughly $2 million drop over the past 3 weeks. So we have seen this number drop, and we expect to see it drop even more. And hopefully, you know, people will get back to work. It's just gonna really depend. You know, some of the states, Indiana was tried to, some other states have ended their piece of the benefit. But there's always a lag in the reports. But right now, that's what we're looking at. So along with those, you know, we talked about the amount of claims. That's just a huge drag on the economy. We need people working. And I don't know. I go out to dinner, go out and you find restaurants are their tables, half of them are empty, but you can't get in because they can't find employees. You see all the signs. You see people begging for people to come to work. I noticed coming here, there's a ton of signs out there for truck drivers. Although I will tell you, there's a lot of trucks on the road. It is amazing, but they're looking for the CD. I may have the initials for CDL drivers and so there is a lot of jobs out there. Just people aren't taking them. I thought this was an interesting stat. This is Indianapolis and the surrounding counties, and this is the weekly stats for residential, single family, and condos. The amount of new listings back in July 11th through July 17th, 2020, we had 523 new listings. This is a year ago, and because I'm going to compare it to the sales. The same time frame last year, we had 509. So we had a few less listings than we did last year at this time. But the sales last year in that same time period, we sold 410 homes. Now we had 523 new listings. We sold 410 homes. That was last year. This year, again, July 11th through the 17th, 2021, we sold 270 homes, and we had 509 listings. So you can see there's that spread is a little larger, by 140 homes, 130 homes, something like that, and that means that we have a little bit more on our inventory. We have a few more houses starting to come in on our inventory. We didn't necessarily see that in June, but we have seen that. So in Indianapolis, in the surrounding area, this information is coming directly from MIBOR. MIBOR is the Metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors. It's the Realtors Association, and this is their information. I want to go through this because I think this is going to be some very interesting information to talk about. But before that,
now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
Yeah, and this comes from Danny, and Danny he's self-employed, and he was fairly newly self-employed, but he'd been doing a couple of years, and he wanted to know if he could get a mortgage in this environment, even though he was self-employed. And I thought, you know, I'm getting this question quite a bit. I'm actually getting quite a few self-employed borrowers. So the basics on a self-employed borrower is, yes, you can definitely get a mortgage as a self-employed borrower. Under a conventional financing or FHA financing, you have to have 2 years of self-employment, and we need the tax returns for 2 years. So both business and personal, if you file that way, but we need 2 years of tax returns, unless you've been in business for 5 years, and then there's a chance we'll only need 1 year. But So self-employed borrower can definitely finance. They can use normal financing. It takes a little bit more paperwork, and it takes a little bit more patience on your part than a normal mortgage. And it's one of the things that makes it rather difficult. Sometimes people will get a little upset because, you know, they've been self-employed for a long time, and maybe last year they didn't have the income that they've had in the past because of the pandemic. And that matters. All that stuff matters. We can't count, if whether you're self-employed or not self-employed, we can't count unemployment benefits or the pandemic benefits or any of that, because it's not a continuing income. So it's not a stream we can count. So we can't count that type of income. We can only count what you made. And that's why it makes it a little harder on self-employed, because of, you know, a employed borrower, not self-employed borrower, goes back to work. They start getting their pay. We can verify that. We can show what they earn, and that's a lot easier and simpler to do. So just understand, it's just going to take, it takes a little bit more, takes a little bit more qualifying, but it's not, it can certainly be done. And it doesn't have to be, you know, ridiculously difficult, but it is a little bit more difficult. You just have to understand that. So bottom line, if you're self-employed, you definitely can finance a home. But let's get back to the MIBOR information. That's Metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors. This June 2021, there were 3,897 closed sales in the Indianapolis surrounding county market. And that's up 7.4% year over year. So that's up from 2020. So this is our market, Indianapolis and surrounding county market. The median sale price, you know, we talked about the median sale price and how, you know, they were talking nationally how bad that is, and how that's, you know, you hear the news media talking about, you know, the houses have gone up, they're unaffordable. Well, our median sale price in Indianapolis and the surrounding county dropped 2%, where our median sale price is $250,000. So ours actually went down a little bit, a little different than the entire U.S., but definitely a good sign for us, although it's still median sale price. It's just the mix of homes that sell. The average days on market, this one is extremely unbelievable. If you watched our housing market, the average days on market June of 2021 was 14 days. That's 2 weeks. That's down 60% year over year. And under normal times, I don't know the exact number, I apologize, but it's somewhere in the 65 to 90 day range. We're at 14 days. And I think that's actually a little exaggerated because of the way that the homes are, a lot of them, not everybody, not how they all do it. But what I've seen is you go and you want to list your home. The real estate agent will hold off on the listing. And then put it on where you have 3 or 4 or 5 days where people can see the house. And then at the end of that time, they accept all the offers and then they accept one. And so I think our days on market may actually be a little lower, but 14 days is incredibly low. That is a very, very low number. Now let's look at the year over year or the year to date sales. Year-to-date sales, we've had 17,609 sales in our surrounding area. Residential listings, we've had 20,000. We have 412. So we have about 3,000 more listings than sales. And right now, though, the current active listings, there's only 2,018 active listings, which sounds like a lot, but it can go by very quickly. So it's not... You know, it's one of those things where it sounds like a big number, but 2018, when you take it through all the counties, it's not that many. And then through all the different price ranges, there just aren't that many homes available for sale. It's why when you go out there and you want to, you know, either put your house on the market or you're looking at homes, it's why there's just not that much. And there may be 5 or 6 offers on a home. And, you know, I want to talk about that because we're talking about MIBOR, Metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors. And we're talking there, these statistics that they've put together for us. And when you know, a lot of people think in this market, because the homes sell very quickly, that they don't need a realtor. But I will tell you, I would recommend having a realtor no matter, you know, what market it is. And it may be more important in this market than almost any other, because this market is so good. It's so unbelievably, the amount of people that want to come look at your home, the amount of people that want to make offers, and then all the things that go along with that. So as an example, you put your house on the market, you have all these, you know, you have to get it ready. You have to do the right things to get it ready. And you want to have somebody on your side that understands what you need to do. And then they make sure that, you know, it's easier to look at your home when you're not there. People are more comfortable. So it's, you know, they have a real estate agent come in. The real estate agent also, when they list your home, is going to really understand the price range and what it should be listed at. What's happening today is your listing price, as long as you don't go crazy, which a few people do. They hear what's going on in the market, and they feel like, hey, I can really put my price up there. And if I can sell it at that, well, that isn't the way it goes. If you price it fairly right now, so if you have a real estate agent who can help you do that, you get the right agent, they help you price it correctly. What's happening is that's actually become the starting price. People come in, they see the price, and they bid over that because there's so many people. It's such a seller's market right now that it's a time when you can do that. You're better off in this market, based on what I see and the agents I've talked to, pricing it correctly, and you'll get that. You'll get the highest price and you'll get the highest value for the house by doing that than overpricing the home where people just don't even make an offer because it's so overpriced. You want to be priced correctly. And, you know, I'll tell you a story. This happened a while back, and it's a family member. They had a house. They wanted to sell the house. And they wanted to save money, so they wanted to list it on their own. They didn't want to have a real estate agent, so they decided to do it for sale by owner. And I'm not going to have the numbers exactly correct, but I'm going to say they put the house on the market for $439,000. And they sold the house. They had a few people come in. They sold the house fairly quickly, and they sold it for, I think, $420,000. And the house had an inspection, and the buyer came back, and they wanted all this work done. And the seller decided, you know what, we're not going to do that. We're not, you know, and this is, they'd gone down the road. Their house was under construction. They really needed to sell their house, but they decided, nope, they're not going to sell it to, you know, they just, it was too much work that needed to be done, according to the buyer. So they decided they were running out of time. They talked to me beforehand, and I said, you need to find a real estate agent, because it wasn't in our town. You need to find an agent who knows what they're doing. So we looked through, we found some people, they interviewed them, they found the right agent. And the agent, now remember, they had the home listed at $439,000 by for sale by owner. The agent listed it for $489,000. Okay. So $50,000 over what they had listed it for. They sold it for $479,000. They didn't have to do all the work. They made actually $50,000+ more on the house because they listed it with the agent. Then you take out the real estate commission, they were still up $30,000. It really does help to have somebody who knows what they're doing. It makes a huge difference. You want a real estate agent who knows what they're doing. And if you're looking at doing that, you're looking for a real estate agent, you want to find one, just give, you know, you can go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com, contact me. We'll talk about it. I'll look at the area that you're in, and I'll give you some names of the top agents in that area that you can talk to, and then decide who you want to have list your home or who you want to have help buy a home. It really is important in both sides that you have a very, very top of the line real estate agent. So, you know, exactly, you know, you're doing it exactly with the very best person that you can. So it's, you know, again, real estate agents are extremely important in the transaction. It is extremely helpful to work with a top-notch agent, and I cannot recommend it enough. Every time when I work with people, you know, I get to know, I know a lot of agents, and you can tell who the really good ones are. And, you know, it just makes a huge difference. And I think it'll make it a lot easier for you if you're buying or selling a home. It just makes it a lot easier. And in reality, I don't think it actually ends up costing you anything because of their expertise, they actually help you get top dollar for your house more than you probably would have got selling it on your own. So that in a lot of ways, they do pay for themselves. I truly appreciate you listening today. If you have any questions on real estate, you know, mortgaging a home, refinancing a home, buying a new home, you want to talk about any situation in the financing, or you're looking for a real estate agent, you'd like to, you know, have some names that you can talk to, please just go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com, and contact me, and we can talk about it, and I'll certainly help you in any way I can, get you whatever information you need to feel comfortable with whatever you're trying to accomplish. Again, I appreciate it very much. I hope you have a great weekend.